Morning. Well, today I'm going to do something a little different, use the iPad, because I tried to do something different with my computer this week, and only by the grace of God and Andrew's help were we able to get a PowerPoint up there. I'll have to work on my new ideas and try to get them perfected. But anyway, today, love is kind. I read and put on the screen for you a saying from Henry Drummond. The greatest thing a man can do for his heavenly father is to be kind to some of his other children. I'm not sure that I would 100% agree that that's the greatest thing, but it's certainly a great thing to be kind to someone's children. Let me assure you that if you want to make an enemy of someone, be unkind to their child. That'll pretty much get you cooked. The fact is, one of the best ways we can be kind to others is to be kind to their children. And so, whenever we think of love being kind, perhaps it's important that we think in those terms. I don't know about you, but on occasion, in years gone by, I have locked my keys in my car. Anybody ever done that? I see some looking around up here. Okay, that's one of the blessings of being in an intimate gathering like that. I get to see all of the responses. Well, I heard a story about a man whose wife sent him to the grocery store to pick up a couple of things. And it was a 7-mile drive to get to a store, so he got there, jumped out just by habit, locked the door, went in, got his stuff, came back, and realized not only had he locked his keys in his car, he had locked his cell phone in the car, too. And so he's sitting there. This young man comes riding up on his bicycle, and he said, "You got a problem?" He kind of thought it was obvious because he saw the man kicking the tire on the car. And so the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "I locked my keys and my cell phone in the car." And so the kid pulled out his cell phone and handed it to him and said, "Call your wife and, you know, she can come get you." He said, "Well, the problem is we only have one car and this is it. I can call her, but she can't come." And so the kid said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you use my phone and you call her and tell her I'm coming after the keys and tell her to give them to me." And the kid rode 7 miles on his bicycle, got the keys, rode 7 miles back, and gave them to the guy. And the guy tried to give him some money, and he said, "Nah, that's okay." He said, "We'll just chalk it up to I needed some exercise." That's kindness, when you do something like that. Whether it's the proverbial helping the little old lady or some cases, the little old man across the street. No, you know, those things used to just be proverbial. I mean, I'd open doors for people and that kind of thing. It's kind of part of being raised in the South. But during my illness, I had a brother who's now dead who would come to my house and help me get into a wheelchair, roll me down the ramp that another brother had built for me, put me in his car, put the wheelchair in the back of his vehicle, take me to the hospital where I would have about 17 to 20 pounds of fluid drawn off of me twice a week. Never took a dime. Always said, "Just glad I could help you." That's kindness. Love is kind. In the South, we have a saying, and you've heard it. Bless your heart. Now, I don't know if you are fully aware of the breadth of the value of the saying, okay? Yes, it's a common phrase in the South, and it can be a very sincere expression of sympathy or concern. But folks, it can also be a precursor to something not so good. In order to kind of soften it, you know, you can, I've seen people say essentially this, you know, you're dumb as a rock, but you can't help it. Bless your heart. Well, you know, being raised in the South or the southern part of the Midwest anyway, and then living in Tennessee and Mississippi, I had a lot of bless your hearts come my way. And some of them, some of them were sincere, and some of them were, you know, open to interpretation at the very least. Well, as you think about that, more than a century ago, this bless your heart idea of kindness was not only something to mellow that which was harsh, but it was to actively treat others with fairness and justice. Love is patient, and to a degree, patience is kind of a passive thing. It's where you choose not to say something, choose not to do something to allow a person to kind of get away with hurting you, or at least not give any retribution to them. But kindness is active. Kindness is something that you do. This kindness was closely connected to actively pursuing goodness and gentleness and usefulness. It was a sense that I'm going to do something for someone, or I'm going to do something with someone that is going to make their life better. And we can see this in the nature of God. We can see it in God in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever heard this statement. You may have even said it. I know I have. I've said, the Old Testament is about law. The New Testament brings grace. That's about as close to blasphemy as I've gotten. Because the Old Testament has grace in it all over the place. In fact, go read the last 12 books of the Old Testament, the prophets. It is full of grace in how God treated his people even after they had turned against him. Hosea is a good example of that in particular, and I want to read to you from Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to Baals, and those were idols that were very sexually charged type orgy things. And they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk. It's as though God's thinking, what's wrong with these people? I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with the cords of human kindness, with ties of love. Perhaps you know what a synonymous parallelism is. It's when you say the same thing in two different ways. The cords of kindness basically constitutes the ties of love. God tied his love to these people, and he pulled them back whenever they had gone astray of him, when they had gone away. And so kindness is not just an attitude. Kindness is not just a bless your heart. Kindness is an action. It is to do that which would pull people back. And the kindness of God is seen also in the New Testament. As I was reading a passage that I'm going to read in just a moment, I thought of W.C. Fields and a story I'd heard. I checked it out. It seems like it was true that while he was alive and active, W.C. Fields was, he was a piece of work. He was a heavy drinker. He had multiple mistresses. He lived a life that would be called debauchery. He was not a Bible-believing person. And on his deathbed, a friend went to visit him and surprisingly found him thumbing through the Bible. And he was confused, and he said, "What are you doing?" To which W.C. Fields, in his inimitable way, said, "Looking for loopholes, looking for loopholes." Sometimes we look at Scripture and we hear a word from God that challenges us to do something that we don't really feel comfortable doing or don't really want to do or was really hard for us to do. And maybe in the back of our mind, we wonder, is there a way I don't have to do that? Is there a loophole for us? Well, Jesus, I think, answered that pretty powerfully in Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. Okay. Do good to them. Kind of sounds like being active in kindness. Now he's going to go to meddling. Lend to your enemies without expecting to be repaid. Those are Jesus' words. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he's kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Doesn't sound like he left any loopholes, did he? Now, I'm not looking for raising of hands, because quite honestly, I'm not sure I could raise my hand either. But when was the last time you lent something to an enemy without expecting it to be returned? A few years ago, we were working on our house, and I hired a homeless guy that was a skilled carpenter, but he was also a drug addict. And he was during a time when he wasn't under the influence. And so Gail and I, collectively tried to help him. We gave him some work to do, and he did a good job. He earned his money. But at the same time, he had to use my tools because he had sold all his tools to buy drugs at some point or hawked them in a pawn shop or something. And then later on, he started getting a few other little jobs. People heard, and they called and said, "Does he do a good work?" And I said, "Yeah, he did good work. You know, he's got an issue, but when he's sober, he does good work." And so I lent him my truck because I wasn't using it that much. And I lent him tools. And he actually got pretty busy. When it was all said and done, he blew up the engine in my truck. I was okay with that. Truck had 350,000 miles on it, so I got my money's worth out of the truck. It probably would have blown up on me sometime, but it happened to blow up on him. But then, the last time I saw him, he borrowed my power miter saw, my framing air gun, my multi-positional ladder, and my tiger saw. It's a reciprocating saw. I guess that's when I lent to him, not expecting to be repaid. Because I haven't seen any of those things in years now. Nor have I seen him. Folks, there were times whenever I was really upset about that. But then I had to read this verse. And I just pray that it helped him more than it hurt me. Because I've got along without it. Most of it's been replaced, the things that needed to be replaced. And at the same time, it was still hard. But the kind thing to do, according to Jesus, is to be kind to unthankful and wicked people. I bet you thought whenever I said, I'm going to preach on love, you thought this is going to be some good, easy stuff. Folks, there's nothing easy about loving the unlovely, to loving the wicked and the others. Ephesians chapter 2 builds on this. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Now, who's God loving? The wicked and the unthankful. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 is where I'm at. It is by grace you've been saved. You weren't saved because you were not wicked. You were saved while you were wicked. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. How does he express his grace, it say? It says, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We're saved because God decided to express his love and his grace in action, and it's called kindness. So if we're going to be like our God, then we're going to have to be people of kindness. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you, folks? Tolerance is not a bad word because it is a description of how God acts toward you and I. Now, there are some sins and things that we shouldn't be tolerant with in terms of our own life, but God is tolerant with sinners. He is tolerant, patient, and kind with you. Does this mean nothing to you? And here's the point that Paul's making. Do you realize? I can almost see him just upset. Don't you realize what God has done for you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? His kindness is supposed to be transformative in your life, not something you take for granted. We're supposed to start partaking of what would be called the divine nature in Scripture. His divine nature, Scripture says, has given to us everything we need for life and godliness. And it says, to add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, and temperance, kindness. And if we do those things, we become partakers of God's nature, his divine nature. Titus chapter 3, which was read as the reading this morning, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. He's saying, that's the way we used to be, and he includes himself in that. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. Paul, I'm doing what you said. So that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. And the word that is translated good in Scripture often, now it's not this particular one, this one's its own little class of word, but the word kindness is also translated good. There's an Old Testament passage that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's translated kindness. That same Greek word in Septuagint is often translated kindness. It's the same word. Goodness, kindness, loving, helpful, all of those would be good translations. These are excellent and profitable for everyone. Because of what God has done to us with His kindness, it should provoke us to be kind, to be good to other people. And so 1 Peter would say, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit and hypocrisy and jealousy and all kind and all unkind speech. I got to stop there. This is the one I have to work on. I have not arrived yet, but I'm better than I was. I used to think sarcasm was a Christian virtue. No, it's not. God gave me a mind that I'm quick with a quip. But some of those quick quips cut deep. And He says, get rid of all unkind speech. And I love this next sentence or two. Like newborn babies. Now, He's not saying these people are spiritually immature. He's just saying, here's an example. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you'll grow into the full experience of salvation. Any of y'all remember how much of a sense of urgency, shall we say, a child can express whenever that child wants milk? Can you ignore it? No. And it will go on until you put something in that child's mouth that's milk formula of some sort. God says, just like that child craves milk, you crave spiritual milk. Don't ever give up wanting it that bad. Cry out. He even uses the word cry. Cry out for this nourishment. Now, why should we do that? Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. We've already eaten. We've already been filled with the kindness of the Lord. And so since we have been, we need to keep crying out for that so that we can grow in our experience of salvation. And so I'll give you a couple of definitions. If patience, last week, is loving endurance of others, even the undeserving. And I hope you would allow that. I think that's a good definition. I believe kindness, then, is loving, compassionate, and generous actions toward others, even the undeserving. As Jesus would say, the wicked and the unthankful. You know, it's easy to do something for somebody who appreciates it. It kind of gives you a good feeling, doesn't it? And I've had the privilege and the blessing of being able to do that from time to time and get that good feeling of doing something for somebody that just can't do enough for you. Two or three years ago, there was a young lady and two children that were living in her car. And she had come to church a couple of times, had come to our pantry several times. and it had gotten really cold. And here Gail and I were living in a 4-bedroom house, and we were warm. And I said, I can't sleep with this. We talked about it. And we took her in, and she lived with us for 11 months. And during that time, we helped her get a job. She did the work. I loaned her a vehicle. I had replaced the truck that blew up. And she started driving the other truck until she saved enough money to get her own vehicle. And eventually, she was stable enough that she was able to get her own apartment. And she moved out and is on her own. And has been now for 2 years, 2.5 years. I tell you that to say that when we were in the process of getting ready to move, to sell, to clean up everything and make everything look right, that girl would call us and say, what can I do? She'd just show up and say, what can I do to help? She wanted no money, and she could have used it. She would call and be upset. She said, you haven't called me to let me do something for you. Now, I'm telling you, when she lived with us, she could get on your last nerve. But at the same time, there was not a lazy bone in her body, and there was not an unthankful bone in that child's body. It's hard sometimes to do for the unthankful. In fact, it's probably always hard. But that's what we're called to, even the undeserving. So would you pray with me this prayer this morning? Dear Father, I rely on your loving kindness every moment of every day. I admit it's wrong for me to drink freely of your kind love for me and then fail to actively show kindness to those around me, even the unkind to people. I pray to be filled with your Holy Spirit so I will have the ability to be kind in how I show love. And again, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This morning, the call is to kindness. Now, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you haven't confessed your faith in him, accepted that he is the Son of God, that you believe that he's who he is, if you haven't turned from your past way of life and started that new life by being immersed into Christ, having his Spirit come to dwell in you, then you're going to struggle to do this. You're going to struggle greatly. It is only possible to fully experience this part of salvation when his Spirit indwells you, and you can't have that, Scripture says, until you're immersed into Christ. And we invite you to do that if you haven't already. So let's stand and sing together.